welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, this is Jessica, and I'm here with
Lewis
and Jay.
And we are going to
turn the page.
So I went to high school with Jay.
Yes, we did. That's a fact.
Yes, that is a fact. And a few, there at least one other librarian here, Sharon Long, who was
Yes,
then.
Yes, we got to see her a couple
Sharon
days ago.
Matthews. Yeah, she's awesome. And we were very excited to welcome you to our library to do what kind of programming?
Well, we were excited to have you, and thank you very much for having us on the podcast. So we love to bring coding to the communities, bring coding to the mass public, I guess you could say. And we feel that the best way to do that is through our libraries. You know, libraries set up just for that purpose, right, for the community.
Yes.
So that's where we really kind of try to root ourselves as a company. We want to bring coding to everybody. So we love having kids, and we try to keep it enticing. We do it over a couple of days, and we do different languages. Try to keep it, you know, fresh, because we don't want to get stale, and we want to keep on top of what's new and happening.
Yeah. And when Jay mentioned that he happened to know the librarians here, there's kind of a big perk. It's like, oh wow, we realize how local a lot of programming is, because we could do it online, everything like that. But ultimately, programming could be local, and you could work with people you know.
It's always good to be able to come back to the community you grew up in and bring something new. And I think the library definitely lends itself to that because, yes, we're open, you know, information access to all and exchange of ideas and new technologies. And that is what you are doing.
Yeah, so I do have to commend Syosset Library also for just being on top of it. You guys have 3D printers, all sorts of tech programs.
Yeah.
So you stay on top of it. Not only do you have the purpose of the library, you know, people could sit here and read in front of a fireplace, but you also get all of the wonderful programs that come along with that. Teen Space, somewhere for the kids to go.
Yes.
I remember the first time we walked through the Teen Space, I kind of told Jay he'd go out to his car and I was going to hang out for a little bit and play with all the cool toys. Because the 3D printer, I saw that. Wow, I wish I had one at home. But you have it here, and you have it available to the students, and I feel that's so cool that they could make use of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it really is very cool. A few years ago, I don't know if you guys are familiar with or remember the fidget spinner phase.
Mm-hmm.
That was
I just got my first one.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Talk about late to the party.
I was late to the party, but you know, I had a couple students tell me that I fidget too much.
Oh.
And,
channel your fidget through the spinner. Now.
Well, they bought it for me because I refused to buy one. And it was a cool one. It was actually a Batman spinner. So
you can actually make that on the 3D printer upstairs.
There you go. Now I'm in.
Jay won't be leaving here until midnight, just printing fidget spinners.
Exactly. I find them to be wonderful and calming.
But anyway, so tell me a little bit about your company, how you guys came together, and some of the programming that you do both in libraries and at... Is it Hofstra
Yes.
University?
Yeah, so that's originally where we first met and first started working together. You know, Hofstra, actually, Lewis is actually a student of Hofstra.
Oh,
so,
nice. I did not know that.
Yeah, he's actually a graduate, I should say, not a student. Sorry.
Finally graduated.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we first initially met there. Lewis was actually teaching for a couple of years prior to when I got there, and he was basically carrying the coding programs on his shoulders over there. So when I stepped in, you know, I saw the talent that he had and he had to offer, and he loved teaching kids, and he had the same the same feelings towards it as I do, and he just enjoyed it. You know, enjoyed spreading the knowledge. And it was probably 2 years that we were Hofstra together.
Yeah, I would say so.
Changing the program, so we became a big part of the actual, you know, bringing coding to the kids and the adults and things like that. So at that point, we did a, an event where a couple libraries were there, and they piqued our, you know, they came over because we piqued their interest, and they said we need coding programs, and you know, that was it. Yeah. That was the marriage.
Kind of made sense. So yeah, Jay said we were doing it for a while, and it was kind of, we love the community we have at Hofstra, and we continue to teach there to this day. Very supportive of everything they're able to do and continue to grow out their programs. And this is kind of our avenue to kind of help get coding to like the communities like you mentioned. So going into the libraries, we're able to bring our knowledge, our experience to kind of help students get started. And it's the coolest thing when we can work somewhere for a little while and you see the same students come back who just started a few months ago, and now they're building all cool apps of their own, websites, whatever it may be. And that's what I find the most enjoyable about doing this.
So you not only teach children here, but you started a coding for adults class.
Yes.
Could you tell me how the two differ? Do you find the, you know, children, they seem to be growing up breathing technology. And I grew up on the cusp of the internet. You were a year ahead of me, so I didn't get an AOL account until I was just about to go to college. And you know, there was no MySpace. You had your personal GeoCities page.
Yeah.
But I mean, now kids, they are growing up just inhaling, breathing, living technology. So do you find that it's a different, that they soak up the information a little differently when you teach to people who grew up post-internet, post-technology?
Yeah, there's different hurdles with both, to tell you the truth. With the young kids, yeah, they know how to use a computer. They know how to use it. So there's that one less hurdle. But there's also less experience in their minds, you know, less experience, less culture,
reference,
right, you know, maturity even, you know, in that case. So the ideas need to be expressed a little bit differently, because there's nothing really different about coding or programming amongst the different various languages per se. But the theories, the backbone of the practices behind it, you know, all the lectures that you get in college about programming, the whole from the start to the end, that's the conceptual part that you have sometimes a hard time with kids, but sometimes the kids grasp it right away. With the adults, though, it's more hesitant to make a mistake. You know, like they don't want to break it. You know, they don't want to do this.
Don't
kids don't care.
Kids don't break everything.
They want to break everything. You know,
wow, yeah, that doesn't ever change, does it?
No, I don't think it does.
I thought it was
you know?
A toddler thing, but
no, I think they're on it. You know, all throughout. So,
okay.
But in both ways, they do have their challenges, and but neither is more difficult than the other. I mean, I feel that teaching to either one, you just present the material a little differently, but you know, they're both receptive to it, because programming is just mimicking human behavior, human thought, how we process a problem, how do we figure it out, how do we break it down. So when you connect it to that common day thing, it really is easy to explain. It's not really this crazy world that everybody makes it to be.
And what really brings it all together, what makes it so similar for both younger students and adults, is at the end of the day, what are we trying to do? Trying to create cool things. Whether it be building their own game or building something that's going to help them at work. No matter what, everybody's doing it for that same reason, because you enjoy doing it. It's a little, like Jay said, there are hurdles that are common across, and so each have their own hurdles while learning.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all kind of after the same thing. We're trying to learn something new and enjoy using it. You know?
The first classes you did were coding with
Python.
Mm-hmm. And now the current class that you're about to teach is?
We're teaching game development, and we're using a specific open source software. I'm a big proponent of open source software. You know, it's free. It's available to use. And, you know,
as a librarian, I advocate for that as well.
Yeah.
Love free stuff. Yeah. Come take out our books for free. Just return them on time.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff.
And here's, you know, something open. That's open that you can use.
Right. And the kids can go home. They could download it. They could use it, you know, and they could just go at it at their house. So that's the other aspect that we try to bring is, you know, it's just a short time here. But we try to give you enough to pique your interest that you know, hey, these tools are free. All of this is available to me. The internet gives me all this information, you know. And
there's YouTube, there's stuff online, there are forums, people are talking, working together. We're just here to kind of help pique the interest or help kind of provide some direction.
Right.
And just bring from one of the experiences that we have and some of the troubles we had getting started to kind of help students get over those initial bumps in the road and get on that path to kind of explore and create and do whatever they want to do.
Excellent. Do you guys have a favorite coding, is it language, program?
Language? No, they all drive me nuts.
And yeah. if you were to give our listeners one open, like your favorite open source, where would you access?
That's a good one. There's a whole network of it.
Top three?
I love YouTube.
Okay.
Because no matter what someone else is out there also trying to teach, and they could be anywhere in the world, and they can walk you through it, they can give you instructions, and even the comments section, which normally in YouTube isn't too useful.
No, that's an understatement.
Yeah, people will say, oh, update your comment, or oh, I found this. Guys, try out this video, things like that, and you can take a full course on someone offering content for free and just follow along and click on the link. I recommend be careful when you click on links, but
yeah.
Always kind of they're trying to promote the same knowledge sharing that we're trying to go after.
Very nice.
Yeah, so as far as open source software, there's a bunch of different resources, but I know if you Google FOSS, free open source, you get a couple of links. FOSSweb.com is a good source that you could go to. I'm drawing a blank on one of the major ones.
And that's F-O-S?
F-O-S-S.
F-O-S-S. Two S's.
Two S's. Free open source software.
Cool.
Stands
it.
For free open source software. But yeah, if you get to there, that's a good starting point, and you'll be able to take you all throughout, you know, especially if you're getting into Linux, you know, that's all free. So, you know, the software is just available to you and you just have to dig in and get on it. I'm a big Linux guy too, though, so.
Very nice. Would you like to talk a little bit about augmented reality?
Ooh. Oh, absolutely. Augmented reality is...
Jake's taught a course on that recently.
Yeah, so we actually were at Hofstra doing a summer course with the kids. And, you know, augmented reality is essentially, you know, how Pokemon Go works.
Pokemon Go, I think, is fantastic. It not only got people to leave their house, gamers to leave their house.
Right.
You know, it brought people together.
Yeah, people were interacting.
That first month, I remember, the teenagers were saying how they'd meet up with their friends by Oyster Bay and they'd try to catch water Pokemon and they met new people and it just sounded like this magical summer of Pokemon.
Pokemon, right? Everybody gets together. Yeah, so that's the exciting thing. I mean, it really brings in your real world.
Yeah.
And you get to augmented, you get to add stuff to it, you know, and you get to do things. So it really is that hands-on and visual gratification right away. Because I think you asked me top three languages,
sure,
or something like that, or you asked me top three open source programs. But if I was saying top three languages right now, JavaScript is making huge strides. And we teach augmented reality using JavaScript. So the great thing about that is that you can access it through any web browser. So as long as you have it on a server, you can load up your program
just load the web page on your phone, use the camera on your phone, and suddenly you're seeing things in augmented view.
Right. So, you know, augmented reality is really cool. And something that we would love to do is bring it to the library somehow, you know, and have some kind of adventure map or something along those lines.
Like a lot of fun. I've done a little bit of research into how different libraries are using augmented reality, and I think that would be so much fun. I mean, you know, what better way to marry technology to physical space?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
right now I'm just picturing a little map out. You put your phone at it, and all of a sudden you see the Death Star There's orbits. I just can't get that on my brain right now.
That's pretty awesome. Though Disney, I think, might have
a problem. Yeah, they might have a problem with that one.
With that one.
Well, no, it's not the Death Star. It's the Death Stellar
object. That's no moon.
Yeah,
no moon. Or a Death Star, even.
Yeah.
Either.
It's a happy star.
Well, thank you so much for coming to speak to us. And both Jay and Lewis, where could you be reached if anybody has any questions?
Okay, well, you can definitely, the best way would be to reach out through email. You can send an email to info@codetostem.com if you want more information. Right now,
and that's code, it's CODETO STEM, STEM, right?
Right, you got it.
Code to STEM, not the number two, the word two.
I was wondering that myself.
Yeah, okay, yeah, good thing, good point, Lewis. So, yeah, that's CODETOSTEM.com. Right now, our website's being worked on, but that would be available as well shortly.
Are there any students out there that want to build out our website? No. We should have it up in the next few weeks.
Well, we hope to have you back on Turn the Page as your company grows and as you teach more things. If there's anything you're really excited about, please come to us and let us know, because you guys are mainstays here. And again, as somebody who grew up in the Syosset community, we always love to see our local people made good. So right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And we really do appreciate you having us here and giving us the shot and bringing the programs to the community. And definitely giving back is feels great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you again, and I am going to close this chapter of
Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.